And you're listening to Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. Well, we got just to the Jaws theme. That's a perfect time to bring in my friend Russ Collins, your friend as well, the bringer of great Hollywood and local movie news. Russ Collins, good morning. How are you, sir?
Very good, and congratulations to WEMU. The rating book just came out, and WEMU did the best ever. So congratulations. Such great news. A high rating in our local market, which is the one that matters to us, and listenership of over 67,000 people.
So. Yeah, and you know, and really the thanks and the congratulations goes to those 67,000 because we can't do WEMU without you. So thank you so much, and we're glad to see the numbers are growing. We think the work we do here is worthy of support and worthy of our community. We hope it is every single day, so we're glad to see people turning out to come to WEMU each day, and you're part of that, so thank you, Russ, as well.
Congratulations, and to, like you said, to the listeners. Well, there's a big news about the Academy Awards. Now, the Academy Awards for
many... Oh, really? I hadn't heard.
Yeah, for many years have had a very, very long show with a lot of awards that most viewers don't really care about. You know, movie nuts like myself really care about production design and special effects awards and audio editing and mix and all of that kind of stuff.
But how else is Star Wars going to win an Oscar if it doesn't have, like, you know, special effects awards and things like that?
It might be nominated for the most popular
film. Oh, do tell. Yeah, gosh, is this the new thing?
Well, it's actually the recreation of an old thing. They used to give away two best pictures. Hmm. One, essentially, the film that was the most popular or the best quality most popular film. And then the other one was just a film that they thought was of exceptional quality. So in a sense, they're looping back to that dynamic that was part of the original 1928 Academy Awards. So that's kind of fun in a certain way. But there's going to be a lot of buzz, you know, in various ways, good and bad.
Well, I saw, too, and people might not know, there's a lot of awards that happen outside the telecast at a separate ceremony. Then there's the whole the art and science of film awards as a separate categories for those.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are essentially the science. They're called the scientific awards.
Right.
There was a local company, ProQuest, who used to be Bell and Howell, that won a lot of those. And they're in possession of Academy Awards that they won back in the 30s and 40s.
So a lot you don't see, and it sounds like they're going to make that even more. They're going to take some of the awards. I don't know that...
And the Grammys do that, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They give away a lot of awards off-air.
Yeah, like all the jazz awards and blues awards.
Exactly. Folk and all that good stuff.
Yeah, all that unimportant music, you know, the critical part of the last 120 years of America's history, but, you know, whatever.
And that's a lot of the
dialogue. Ariana Grande's getting a Grammy, so you got to focus on that.
That's going to be a lot of the buzz around the Oscars, too, as those so-called below-the-line categories get awarded off-screen. So it's not that they're not going to get awards. Right. They're just not going to get the big TV audience. And, yeah, and they're trying to cut the Oscar show from 4 hours to 3 hours. And in 2020, they're moving the Academy Awards back 3 weeks from the 23rd to the 9th of February. However, this year, the 91st Oscar ceremony, the Academy Awards, will be given out on Sunday, February 24th. So mark that on your calendar.
You know, and what's not talked about a lot is this is a big fundraiser for the Academy. The television rights are one of their primary ways that they bring in money. So it's important to them to have a large audience. And last year's audience was comparably small. I mean, 26.5 million people watched the Oscars last year, and I don't think anybody's going to sneeze at 26.5 million people watching anything at all at this point with all
the
different options.
One of the best-watched TV shows of the year.
Right, but still for them, they thought it was a little down. So,
and they're opening a new museum in Los Angeles, which the Grammys have a wonderful museum, too, in Los Angeles. So, anyway, they have a lot of objectives.
There's not a museum devoted to the Oscars?
I'm shocked by that. Or to cinema.
What a rich history. Wow.
Absolutely. Oh, so they're taking an old department store right next to the L.A. County Museum and turning it into a
Russ, I want to talk to you. We need to, I know it's a little early, but I'd really love to talk to you. We need to talk about doing an Oscar watching party next year. We absolutely have to do it.
So all right,
let's start chatting about it in a couple months here.
We'll do it.
We're going to hold you to it.
Okay. Well, we've got four great documentaries. Generation Wealth, which is opening this week. RBG, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary. Won't to Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers documentary, and Three Identical Strangers, which is really people are receiving the Three Identical Strangers about these three triplets that
were separated. What a story. Yeah.
It is. It's amazing. And then we have three indie films by African-American directors. Black Klansman, Spike Lee's new film, opens this week. Sorry to Bother You, which is by a first-time director, Boots Riley, which is just outstanding. It's very cool. Yeah. And then Blindspotting, which was one of my two, three favorite films of Cinetopia by Davey Diggs, who was originally in Hamilton. Two fun classic films, The Thomas Crown Affair, the 1968.
I was going to ask, the original or the Pierce Brosnan one?
And with Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway. This is part of the 1968 classic series that we're doing right now. And then Fight Club, which is the midnight film at the
State
Theater.
Club, what's that?
Yeah, that's you don't talk
about it. I heard there was
it.
A rule about
you
that
don't
movie.
Talk about Fight Club, except on the radio when it's the
I've
movie.
I've never seen Fight Club in a theater, so I'm actually really looking forward to having it there because I'd love to get the opportunity to see it in the big screen, on the big screen.
One of the classics of midnight cinema. And then we have a brilliant coming-of-age film by a first-time director. Bo Burnham did Eighth Grade. It opened Cinetopia. Wonderful, wonderful film.
Saw a great joke about that, by the way. Yeah. A comedian said, you know, I'm a 37-year-old single man, and I went and saw Eighth Grade, and I loved it. It basically summarized for me exactly how it felt to be an awkward 37-year-old man in a room full of teenagers.
I can see that. That would be absolutely
good movie,
true.
Though. Good movie.
Absolutely. And Bo Burnham, who directed it, I think is 34. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that he came up with this film that resonates so well. Now, a film that's actually going away today, don't worry, he won't get far on foot, is a film by indie director icon Gus Van Sant. So it's going to go away. Go check it out. I want to talk about Generation Wealth, which is directed by Lauren Greenfield, who did The Queen of Versailles. And this is kind of in a similar vein. It's an examination of extremely wealthy people and their lifestyles and a kind of the frivolity of the richest people in society in a certain way. Lauren Greenfield really stuck it to the folks that were involved with Queen of Versailles, which was about a family that had created some holiday condos, gotten a great amount of wealth, but then their whole system collapsed. But there's a lot of issues spanning consumerism, beauty, gender, body commodification, aging, and a lot more in the film, and it's definitely worth checking out. Black Klansman is Spike Lee's new film, and Spike Lee made one of the most brilliant films ever made, in my opinion, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
And this film is being compared very favorably with that film. So this is set in 1970 in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And it's true, based on a true story.
It's based on a true story, but of course it's a movie.
Yes.
An African-American, the first African-American police officer in Colorado Springs, decides that he's going to infiltrate the KKK in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And he elicits...
I see no issues with that whatsoever so far. So
the deep irony of it is articulated on the poster for the film. He elicits a white officer to help him, played by Adam Driver, who plays Flip Zimmerman, who is...
Adam Driver's everywhere right now.
That's right. Well, he's of Jewish heritage, mm-hmm. and so the KKK has similar animosities towards Jewish people. It's a very, very clever film, carried off extremely well with Spike Lee. It resonates with some of the contemporary zeitgeist. It's obviously being released right after the one-year anniversary of the Charlottesville riots and tragedy there, and references that at the end of the movie. The critics are very strong behind it. It's his hardest hitting work in decades, and very favorable.
I'm going to ask you a question.
It
seems like we have an uptick. In great films with social commentary coming out, especially from African-American filmmakers, directors, writers. It seems like we're almost in a renaissance period for that at this point. Are you noticing that, too? I mean, these are all incredible films. I mean, Black Klansman and Sorry to Bother You and Blindspotting. Of course, we had a couple last year, like Get Out. I mean, they're really poignant commentary on what's going on in our world today using events from the past primarily.
Well, hate to say it, but it's absolutely true. The filmmaking world was a pretty racist place, or very racist place. And,
well, misogynistic, too.
And sexist as well. So it kept female filmmakers, African-American filmmakers, Asian filmmakers at arm's length. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there were a few filmmakers and performers that made it in the system. But the system...
Well, in a week, too, that Black Panther just crossed over $700 million.
Headed towards a billion.
Money talks. Money absolutely 100% talks. So go out and support these kinds of films if you want to see more great films from more independent-style filmmakers like this, or non-traditional, I might say.
Absolutely. And it's sad to say non-traditional, but...
Oh, right. Let's make it traditional.
Let's make it traditional. So Black Klansman, go check it out. Great reviews, great filmmaker. Spike Lee was nice enough to come to... Cinetopia a few years ago, so I got to meet him, and he is a smart, focused gentleman who I admire greatly, and I can't wait to experience.
That's high praise from you too, Russ. I mean, you've been around the block with the film world, so that is good high praise.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. Well, our classic film series continues with Thomas Crown Affair, Steve McQueen, Faye Dunaway. You can't miss it. It's going to be Sunday at 1:30 and Tuesday at 7, and then Fight Club. We already talked about that. So opening up at the multiplex is Dog Days. It's a hilarious, heartfelt ensemble piece, and you can go check that out. It opens today.
And that is Cinema Chat for a Thursday morning. Russ Collins, thank you so much.
We'll see you from Hollywood next time.
All right.